The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in highest heaven!' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What did the principalities and powers see that day? The earthly rulers, human and demonic. They saw the peasant prophet on a donkey riding into Jerusalem. They saw around him a crowd of enthusiastic, rural, i.e. not important, Jews, waving palm branches and quoting Psalm 119, declaring Jesus is the Messiah King. Jesus rode into the city that day to lay claim to his power. But with ruthless efficiency, they crucified him. The principalities and powers don't want anyone else in charge. Jesus, by that simple act, was fulfilling prophecy. He was saying to the world, "I am Yahweh's Messiah King." But Antichrist, for there are many antichrists, gave thorns to Jesus for a crown and put him on a throne of wood, a cross raised on high. Their unbelief is declared, but because God finds a way, ironically, on the cross they wrote, "Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews." It's unbelief which hid his identity to the principalities and powers, and it's our unbelief which also causes us sometimes to not understand. I know we all know the words of the creed. We can say them from memory. And I bet everyone in here can look back in the last year and find two, maybe three times where you had a warm feeling about God and you sat around praying for a long time. But the truth is, most of us, all the time, and some of us, most of the time, are only mildly interested in Jesus. And we know he understands because we have many pressing concerns. There's important things to do. There's important things to do. Don't have time all the time. And yet, for those who do have time, the scriptures stand open for us. Revelation means unveiling. And God unveils endless verbal connections, endless themes, and endless interweaving patterns throughout the scriptures, which make it all so very clear for those who pray and are willing to do the hard work of study. The Bible is a library, written over hundreds and hundreds of years in different languages by all sorts of different kinds of people. Yet it also remains a divinely inspired book, a single book, unified by the God who is his author. With that in mind, it should be no surprise that when we look at Psalm 80 more deeply, we find all sorts of connections to Jesus the Christ. It begins, and he sang it this morning for us, "Hear us, Shepherd of Israel. Hear us." It literally means put your hand on your ear so he can hear us. And it calls God a shepherd, much like Psalm 23. But more importantly, the connections to Ezekiel and the other prophets where God declares the false prophets, the false priests and rulers of this nation will be overthrown, and I myself will come down to be your shepherd, God among us. And Jesus Christ himself says in the Gospel of John, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd." The Lord is seated on the cherubim in Psalm 80. The cherubim are those four-faced creatures illustrated on our window, those different animals there, except cherubim have all four at the same time. And they stand before the throne of God. But in the temple, when you looked at the Ark of the Covenant, there were two cherubim on top of it, laid out there so that God's footstool will be in the temple and his name will rest there. Jesus says, "I am the temple of God. I am the temple of God." He is the presence of God among us. The psalmist says, "Let your face shine with light and save us. Let the shining light of God's face be upon us." And in Mark's gospel, just a few chapters before this, Jesus was on the mountain, and guess what happened? He turned to bright, shining light, and he shone before them. And Yasha, the Hebrew word for save, is the root word for Yeshua, the Hebrew word for salvation, healing, and victory. It's also where Jesus gets his name, Yeshua. Like the psalmist, humanity cries out, we are sick and suffering, sick in mind, sick in body, sick in heart. We are enslaved to sin. We are subject to death. We're subject to, the wind just may kick out and nail everything. We could just as easily have come here today to see an empty lot. And in Alabama, and I guess parts of Tennessee, that's exactly what happened. It all hangs by a thread as we live in exile from God, from one another, and even from ourselves. We know a lot about the bread of tears. The bread of tears, if there's an antichrist, the bread of tears is the anti-manna. It's the anti-bread of life. Jesus says in John's gospel, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." On Thursday night, Jesus will say, "Take, eat, this bread is my body." In Zechariah 9, we see more of those patterns. The prophecy of the victorious king. Zechariah says he's triumphant, yet he's humble. He brings peace to the nation, not violence. And the blood of his covenant will free everyone who's imprisoned, including you and I. Since the fall in the garden, human beings have struggled with a world that produces thistles and thorns. And Jesus will redeem us from that by putting thorns on his own head as a crown. Since Genesis, where we read that God regretted making human beings because they're so violent. Since Genesis, human beings have ruled by violence. Human justice in every age is twisted. I repeat, human justice in every age is twisted. Rebel humanity always worships the wrong God, and you and I do that too, and they worship and they follow the wrong kings, and we do that too. And let me make very clear, when I hear people talking about social justice, to use the scriptural imagery, my bowels melt. Because when human beings say they're bringing social justice, you're guaranteed several million people are going to die. Because they don't care how many people they got to kill to make the world a better place. They're going to flat out do it. So be aware, brothers and sisters. Be aware. Jesus, not by violence, but by peace, declares the end of other gods and the end of human rulers. Jesus stands among us is the humble Savior King. Jesus is the source of justice. But the world, the flesh, and the devil around us and in us stand against him. They stood against him then, they stand against him tomorrow, and they stand against him today. So what I plead with you today is we can no longer stand with divided loyalties. We have got to choose every day, many times a day. We can choose to proclaim Hosanna in the highest and make Jesus the center of our lives. We can choose this week to walk with Jesus liturgically, but every week to walk with him in faith and declare him as our King, him as our source of justice. We can pledge to him, I love you, I honor you, I obey you, and I am subject to you as my Lord and my King. And if we are faithful, we will stand with him at the foot of the cross Friday morning liturgically, but each and every day in real life.